Okay. We're continuing Halacha Aleph and Shin Chafei. Last time, we started talking about Sir Sal. So I'll give you a 30-second recap of what we said last time, just to get us prepared for what we're doing today. And that was like this. If you have multiple batches of dough, and each one of them did not have a Shir Challah, but you put them together, together they would have a Shir Challah, then they can be mitzurf, they can join together to make a Shir Challah. You need a couple of conditions or a couple of things we talked about. One is that they have to be touching, and they have to be in some kind of a container. If they're touching, and they're in that container, and together now they have a Shir Challah, then they're mitzurf to be Shir Challah. Some of the details were, first of all, is that Tzir Sal could happen even after it's already baked. It doesn't have to happen when it's in a dough form, even after it's baked. Second is that it has to be somewhat within the walls of the container. Only things that are within the walls or the border, the lip of the container count towards its ear, not things that are completely out of it. And last was that doesn't have to be a formal container. It could be a piece of cloth or something else like that also counts also to make a tzir sal. Okay, now, after that, we spoke about separately, is that the din is that tzir in a tanner doesn't work. Tzir in a sal works, tzir in a tanner doesn't work. We had four possible reasons, and towards the end of today, we'll bring that back up again, how that plays into what we're going to talk about today. Okay? So now, those were what we did last time, was the more basic dinim of tzir sal, of how and when it works. Today we're going to get into a little bit more of a little more complicated things. Not terribly, just a little more complicated, which will have more practical applications, I think. Okay. Now, as I just mentioned, and we spoke about last time, Tziruf, as discussed in Simon Shinchav Dalad, okay, we're in Shinchav Hena, Shinchav Dalad requires something called Neshicha, that the things have to touch each other, and the way the Mechaber explains it in Ardent, they have to touch each other so well that if you pull them apart, a piece of one would stick onto the other one. Okay, they're like really connected to each other. Okay, that's a chiddush of Tzir of Sal, but Tzir of Sal does not need that. They just need to have Nikia, they need to touch, they don't need to have Neshicha. Okay? So, but that said, the din is, the Neshicha takes the place of, I'm sorry, Nikia takes the place of Neshicha, and therefore, the same rules apply. Okay? That is, what I mean to say is like this. In Shin Chavtal, we had rules that say, only certain minim are mitzuruf with each other. Now, there are certain rules of what things can be mitzuruf, those rules still apply. We're just substituting Neshicha for Negia because we're in the South. That's one thing. That's the more straightforward din. But the more contentious din is, what about the din that are going to be in Shin Chavav? Okay, we're in Shin Chav Hey. In Shin Chavav, it's going to talk about that you can only have tziruf when the person is comfortable with the things mixing with one another. Okay, he has tziruf sal. The Ramah has a case there. A person has one batter of dough that has spices and one does not have spices. Okay, two almost the same thing. One is spiced and one is not. The Ramah says those cannot be mitzuruf because the person wouldn't want those to mix one with the other. They're two different recipes. So some say, the Beis Meir says that the same thing works by tziruf sal also. But tziruf sal by, I'm sorry. The experience says it's not true by Tzir Sal. You don't need to follow those dinim and Shin Chavav. Because he says, that only makes sense when you're in Neshicha. They need to be touching each other so well that one piece would pull onto the other one. So then it has to be that you really don't mind them mixing with one another. He says, but over here, you don't need Neshicha. You just need them to touch each other. So as long as you're comfortable with them touching, even if you don't want them to mix, that's okay. Okay? But that's what the Beis Meir says. This is an Aruch Chaim. The Beis Meir says that. But the Prima Gadin, the Aruch Chaim, brings a riot from Kesem Mishnah, and from a documentary that did not agree with that, and they held that the din of Negiah with a Tzir Sal is just a substitute for Neshicha, but the rules of Shin Chavav still apply, and therefore you have to be comfortable with the things mixing, even though they don't have Neshicha, they're just touching it, even though they're already baked. Imagine if you take a piece of chocolate cake, and you take a matzah, or a piece of sugar cookie, and they touch each other. Okay, nothing's going to transfer. You don't mind them touching, but you would very much mind if they mix with each other. The two tastes are very different from each other. You wouldn't want them to cross. So then, in that case, there is no tzir of sal. Even though the way that they're touching doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother you what they're doing, but to transfer, you would not be comfortable with, and therefore, there's no tzir of sal in that case. So, as you realize, that's automatically a very big limitation on the rules of Tzir Sal. We're going to basically only have Tzir Sal now in cases where the foods are basically the same. Okay, the person made many batches of the same thing, then you can talk about having Tzir Sal. In other words, it's not as broad as you might imagine that Tzir Sal could happen with all kinds of things mixed together, because no. As soon as you don't want them to mix, flavor-wise, you don't want the foods to mix with each other, which is lots of fluids, then all of a sudden there's going to be no Tzir Sal. Okay. So, as an extension of that, Chaim Kanievsky brings, there's a whole deal in the later Achron about this, he brings that the same way that if you don't want the foods to mix, that there's no Tzir Sal, he says also, if you, Lahedya, do not want Tzir Sal to occur, you're putting it into a container, but you're saying that there should not be Tzir Sal, then there's no Tzir Sal. Okay? If you specifically have a mind not to work, then there's no Tzir Sal.
Even with those that are exactly the same.
Even though if it, theoretically it could be Tzir Sal, it cannot be. But he brings,
like
he
said, Banish Lo Latzis.
Right, correct. He brings a deep from Mishnah Berurah to it, and he says that logically, if you have no kavana, then there is Tzir Sal. Okay, and if you remember, we spoke about this last time, that that's the reason why we do Tzir Sal for matzahs. When they bake matzahs, you're specifically not supposed to have a shir challah. You're supposed to make it in small batches so that it won't become chametz. And over there, they specifically, after the baking, make a Tzir Sal, and the reason is because you don't want to have later a mistake Tzir Sal. If you wouldn't do the Tzir Sal, you're so close to having a shir challah, there's a potential that tomorrow the guy's going to take it home and do a Tzir Sal by mistake, so they bedavka can make a Tzir Sal, and that's to avoid this mistake in Tzir Sal. Yeah, that's a deal, that there's such a thing that it can happen by mistake. It can't happen if you don't want it to happen, but it could happen, so to speak, by mistake.
Okay, can I get a
comment? A bunch of Lechrim talk about it, but he brings Raya, and he says, no, if you have Kavanah specifically that there should be no Tzir Sal, it doesn't happen, but if you're just neutral, you're just not paying any attention to it, then it would happen. Okay. Now, next thing is, we had said that not only can you do Tzir Sal, the Shachar brings it, the Rama brings it.
I haven't explained that. We have to see it.
So it connects to Simon Shin Chavav, because it connects to Simon Shin Chavav. In Simon Shin Chavav, it says you can only have tziruv if you'd be okay with the foods mixing with each other. So it's like it's an extension of that. Is that you have to sort of want them to be together. Now there it doesn't say you have to like that it's happening. You have to just not be opposed to chocolate cake and brownies mixing with each other. But
in other words, it's sort of an objective then a subjective thing.
That
of not wanting. You know, let's say that in certain cases it's just objective that you wouldn't want. One has tava, one doesn't have tava, and it doesn't require kavana.
Right.
The question is, what if you bedafka have kavana when the two items are dissimilar?
Then there should be
serious.
Yeah. Okay, so those are shin chavav kind of dinim, but yeah, it's both subjective and objective. Yeah. There's a standard of what you guess and what the.
Yeah, let's say if two matzahs look exactly the same. Okay,
it sounds like even if you just don't want to have a shir challah.
Right, that's exactly the point. Well, what do you mean? You don't want to see yourself because you don't want to
shir challah. That's
good. Yeah, that's good.
Yes,
that's good. So it's a step past that, but it's connected to the shin chavav kind of ideas, which is that it has to do with you being willing for them to come to you. Okay. So now, I told you, I don't remember, it says right here in this thing, that you could do Tzir Sal with a cloth also. It doesn't have to be a container, it doesn't have to be a box. It could be wrap them up in a towel, that also makes Tzir Sal. Okay? So, Rabbi Asher says, it doesn't have to be a formal piece of towel either. He says you put them into a paper bag, or into a plastic bag, you could do Tzir Sal, Tzir like that also. It says, there's no conditions to what it has to be. It doesn't have to be a container. It could be even a cloth. Well, a piece of paper, it does the same trick to us. Okay? So, just put that on the side for a second. We're going to get back to that in a second, what that means. Okay, now, there's another to-do in the Achronim. It's what happens like this. I told you the foods have to touch each other, and they have to be in the container. What happens if they're in their container, there's this big container that has all the stuff in it, but the things are individually wrapped? Okay? So the things are not touching each other, but they're in small containers, and the small containers are all touching each other. But they're in one huge container that would hold the full shir challah. But let's say individually there are four packages, and those four packages that are in there, each one doesn't have a shir, but they're all again touching each other and in one really, really big container that's around there. Okay, so when you say tzir sal in that case also. Okay, on the one hand it's gotta touch. They're not touching. It's gotta be in the container, it's in a big container and they're sort of touching each other. Okay, so here it goes like this. So Chaim Kanievsky makes a deed from the Mishnah Berurah that there would be tears in that case. And then he says, I looked at my father's personal Mishnah Berurah and scribbled on the side of that place in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, that he agrees that if the kelim are touching each other and they're one big kli, then there would be tzirus al also. And he brings from some sefer that I don't have, that the esher of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, and he said the same thing also. Okay, so he told them also that if the kelim are touching each other and they're all into one big kli, then that's a tzir. Okay, however, Rosh Hashanah Arbach says no. He says it's not true. He says, if something is in, when we talk about things being mature in a kli, that teaches us something. When something's in a kli, that's like its own unit. So he says, if I take 10 challahs and I wrap each one of them into its own bag, okay, you go to the bakery, they put each challah into its own bag, he says, once it's in a container, that's it. It can't be mature with anything else. This is the sal. The fact that the 10 bags of challahs, the 10 challahs are in one very big bag or in a big box, doesn't make a tzir afterwards. He says, if they're in a container, that's finished. There can't be any tzir afterwards. He says, I'll be masking, but if you put them with just something in between them, like as a separation, it's like you have wax paper. You have all the challahs stacked up with just wax paper in between them. Not that they're wrapped in something. They're just something separating them, some minor thing that, he says, that would be tuffel to the bread of the challah, and therefore then there would be tzir for nekesh. Okay, so again, if it's wrapped completely around the thing, you know, if it's all solved, so to speak, now there's no tziruf. But if it's just something tuffle to it, then it could be tziruf. And Rabbi Yashiv said something similar to that, just different. He's willing to say it's even tuffle, even if the challahs are in a bag. Even if they're wrapped completely, but if lemaisa, if it's a tuffle to the thing, then he's willing to say that it works. But if it's not tuffle, then he would say there's no tziruf.
But he'd say that tziruf if you put all of them together in a bag?
Yeah, if you have one big container.
Which is a bag.
Bag, he's okay with a bag, but when the bag is just a tuffle, then he's willing to ignore it and say it doesn't count towards messing up the connection between each other. They're considered to be touching in this really big container. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no. He says, if each one has its own thing that would qualify as a container, then you're finished, and then you can't have a tzir v'yafta. He says, if it's in this container, it's not in that container. So, you know, pick one or the other. Okay? So the nafkamina, okay, the case of the nafkamina is, okay, we have a person, we have a rebbetzin, okay, and she wants to make shalach mamz, okay, for everyone in the shul. Okay, she's making everybody a cake in shul. Okay, she can't make a huge amount for everybody at once. So every day, she makes a bunch of cakes. Today she makes 10 little cakes, and tomorrow she makes another 10, and the next day another 10, and none of them have a shir challah. And she keeps putting them away, all these things, she's sticking them, putting them away for the day when it's going to come Purim, that she's going to give them all out. Okay? Then comes Purim, and she does a tzir sal. She takes all these little, individually, little foil, you know, each cake in its own little foil pan, and she stacks them all together in a big box, or she wraps them in a towel, or she does something that would be a tzir sal. Okay? So, the way Chaim Kanievsky said, now, again, I said to you that I implied, which is what he does say, that there is a tzir no matter what. He brings riots against it. I'm not saying, he's not 100% convinced, but he says it, and from his father, and his grandfather-in-law, that it's okay, so let's say he's going there. According to him, there's going to be a tzir. All the cakes are the same, they're all chocolate cake, so they don't mind them mixing with each other. The fact that each one is its own little foil pan, you know, covered up foil pan, doesn't bother him. As long as they're in one big container, there's going to be a tzir sal. According to Shlomo Zalman, once they're completely wrapped up, each one is completely wrapped in its own thing, there's no way to make a tzir. And according to Rabbi Yashiv, we'll have to judge, are the foil pans tuffled to the cake, or they're not tuffled to the cake. You'll figure out for yourself whether they are or not considered tuffled to the cake or not. So that would be a case where we all the other conditions of tzir sal are there. Everything's right about it. There's this really big container that has all these, you know, 50 cakes inside of it. But the cakes are themselves each wrapped into its own thing. That would be the case for nothing. Okay, I'm sorry. It's here on the side right here. Ignore the fact that the shadows of Almas. We'll get to that then. No. I don't think it qualifies that. It's not going to get to right now. You will find them. We'll get to Almas Lachalik. The Tzir of Sal and Almas Lachalik are very intertwined with each other. So we'll find them. Be patient. Okay. Not for today. Okay. Now, then for the next thing, about large containers, I need to give you a drop of background. That is like this. Okay, there's in the 15th parak of Mesechtas Kehilim, it talks about all the special dinim that apply to things that are not metal kehilim. What the term calls a kli eitz and kli or, a beged or a sack. Okay, a bunch of different kinds of kehilim that are not metal kehilim. And they have all kinds of special dinim to them. Okay? So one of the things it says there, it says that if those kelim are machzik in memsa, if they're very large, okay, then the tar, which is to say, if they were tame before and they lose it tumo, or if they can't become tame if they're that size, and the reason for this is because the Torah says calls it it's called a beged or a sack. They're all compared to each other, so just like a sack, it's meant to be as something that you carry things around in, and you take it around even moly vareka, even if it's full, you take it around also. So too, the other kelim that are not, those psukim, are only considered to be a kli if the metaltal molly reikon, but something that's bigger than them, so it's not metaltal molly reikon. I'll explain more about that in a second. Okay? So on. Okay, it's a din about tumah v'tahara, which things are kelim or not kelim. That's in Mishnah Perek Tezvav. Then, if you go Perek Yukes, it's talking about the same din. Okay? The case, it's called a shida, it's a kind of a box. And the shida is a continuation of what the Mishnah called them Tezvav, also a shida. So you have the shida. So, it says like this. You know that the something that's Masik Mem Saw, which helps us understand it better, is what the Gemara tells us also is the size of mikvah. And the size of mikvah is 3 amas by 1 amas by 1 amas. Okay? So the Mishnah in Perek Yuches has a machlokes. When you want to measure this 3 amas by 1 amas by 1 amas to decide if it's Masik Mem Saw or not, so Beishamai says, you measure that by what the volume that it has, what can the container hold, the internal measurements of the kli, to decide if it's Masik Mem Saw. Masik Memsa doesn't hold Memsa inside of it. And Basil says that we don't measure from internally, we measure it externally. Is the whole kli, including the walls of the kli, the structure of the kli itself, does it Memsa? And I don't know what really the plan is, but it could be that the Machlokes is. I see the Mefarshim saying a different reason. Could be the reason is like this. If what's the reason why, what's the Ketur of something being not being total Moly Vareikon? You can't carry it Moly Vareikon. Okay? If the reason is, as some say, because if it would be molly, it would be too heavy to carry it around. The reason why you can't carry it full is because it's so heavy. If it's such a big thing, it would fill it up with, I don't know, whatever, popcorn, it would be too heavy to carry it around. Then, if so, we should include the walls also, because that goes into what you can't carry around. You can't carry the walls either. If you have something like this with filled up and with walls, that this 3 amas by 1 by 1, you can't carry it. Okay? If the reason why it's not metoltal molly vareikon is because it would not be strong enough to carry its contents. Because you can't fill it up, because if you filled it up and you try to pick it up, it would smash. It wouldn't be strong enough to hold what fits inside of that thing. Well, then it doesn't make sense to count the walls, because forget it. Having the walls actually give strength to it. Maybe if you have bigger walls, makes it that will not break. It'll be stronger. You'll be able to more carry it around. Okay? So maybe that's Mechlokes Shammai. So what the reason is not so important. But of course, you pass like this. So, we count it from the outside. I'm jumping ahead a step, okay? As you see, we're heading to refrigerators, okay? So what happens if you have, I'm skipping a drop, but just bear with me. What happens if you have a container, so we count for the outside. What happens if the outside has, like, something stuck onto it? Okay, the outside doesn't just have, it's not just a box, not just the outside, we count the outside walls, good, okay? What about the handle on it? What about the legs? What about other parts onto it? So it's also talked about in the next mission, in Perek Yudches. And what it seems to be, I don't know that Mishnah perfectly, I can't tell you I know perfectly, but is, there's a machlokes about little appendages like legs and handles and things like that, and you'll see in a second we're passing that those do not count, but things that are really attached, that are considered part of the kli, would count, and to me it seemed, I'm not 100%, but to me it seemed, that therefore the two chambers, like the fridge and the freezer, should count. When we're measuring the outside, what is the outside dimensions of this box? We don't say that there's a refrigerator that's one box and a freezer that's another box, but we look at it, it seems to me from that mission, we look at the two parts together. Okay? We wouldn't count the legs, we wouldn't count the space in between the legs, but the other part of the refrigerator, the top and the bottom, count as one unit together. Okay? That's how it appeared to me.
The whole outer case,
right? The whole unit, not the handle, not the legs, but the top and bottom together, to me it seemed like they would count. Okay, so now, all of this is very nice. All this is very nice if we wanted to talk about Tumah V'Tahara. Okay, this is all sounds wonderful for Tumah V'Tahara. If you want to know if you made a refrigerator out of bones, would it be Makabel Tumah if it was this size? Okay, so this is all very nice. Okay, it comes from a pasuk, it has to do with Tumah V'Tahara. Okay, lo and behold, but the Rishonim bring this in for all kinds of other things. Okay, the thing it's most famous for is Hilchos Shabbos. There's a rule, Ein Binyan Ustira Bekalim. Okay, the rules of Binyan apply to structures, to Ahoyholos, but not to Kalim. Okay, Kalim have their own dinim, but they don't have the dinim of Binyan. The Rishonim say, you want to know, how do you know whether something is a Kli or a Binyan? How do I know if this box, is it a house, or is it just a very big box? And the rule is, well, that says the Mishnah Kalim. Okay, the Mishnah Kalim, if it's more than 40, if it holds more than 40 saw, then it's a bias, so to speak, it's an oil. And if it's less than 40 saw, then it's not. Okay, what does it have to do with anything? Like, what on earth does this have to do with Dagon or Sakwa? So obviously the thing from there, the Torah is being mounted to us, what is a Kli and what's not a Kli? These things are Kalim, and when you get past a certain size, it's not a Kli at all. Just not a Kli at all. This is beyond that, so the next, you know, step up we have from that is an Oihel or a bias, and therefore, so just like it's not Mekabel Tumah, so too it's also not There's opinion in that thing now if it's so big. Okay? So, just as an aside, that dinim of memsa does not work for metal. A metal kli that's more than memsa is makabel tumma. But part of the reason for that is because metal doesn't have to be a kli. Okay? The tumma of metal is not dependent on it being a kli. Metal can be a needle, it's also makabel tumma, even though it's not a kli. And it could be.
It
could
be kibble.
It doesn't mean kibble.
Kibble is a kli.
It doesn't have the same rules as Kalim, like these other things have that. It doesn't have that basically, yes, correct? So therefore, on the opposite extreme, on the other side is, the other rules of that Memsa, the Mishnah says, it doesn't have the rule of Memsa. The rule of Memsa doesn't apply to Kalim, and it's connected. You know, those are all the Nafkumis and characters as well, of Mel Kalim from the other channel. I was going to say that. That's a shayla. We'll get to one day we'll do with tefillah scale. Rosham Klugger talks about that maybe big kalim shouldn't be chayav in tefillah for the same reason. Okay, that's another example of here this dinim. Here this tefillah scale is a little closer to Mishnayos kalim. You know, kalim, kalim. It's a little closer to the Mishnayos and kalim that has it better than this kalim, which is Hilchos Shabbos. Right? You think it has no shayla there? So people bring it in all different kinds of ways. There's a Chuvas HaRamah who talks about it. He says he wants the child's about whether you could sit on a container that has svar inside of it. Okay, well, you can sit on a container that has svar inside of it. So he says if it's bigger than Memsa, then in his words, it's cholik b'shus atzma. It's not a kli. It's like in another room. It's like imagine I'm sitting here and downstairs is a sefer. I don't say, oh, I'm sitting on top of the sefer because it's in a different room. That's okay. The Magen Avraham brings in The Magen Avraham brings it. The person has a sefer and it has to be mishamish mitasa in a room. It's considered to be in a separate room. Okay, so in all these a bunch of different examples where we see this din of size of a kli being transferred over to other dinim. A number of rachamim talk about this very bekitzer. I saw about it in Dain Weiss and I saw it in a drop in. The one who speaks about it more in depth is Rafal, has a chew about it. And he brings some rights against. I'm only telling you the rights for, I'm not telling you the rights against. He seems pretty convinced that the same rule should apply for Tzir of Sal, back to where we want to talk is, which is once a thing is bigger than Memsa, it's not a Sal. It doesn't count. It's not anymore in a Kli. It's like saying, should we say if we had 50 chalas in this room, we wouldn't say the Mitzurav, because the room should be Mitzarav. Rooms have to do with mukav. Remember we talked about this, and we're gonna get to it next time about what mukav is. Rooms could be mitzurf, maybe mitzarif things for mukav, but not for tzir of sal. He says so. The border between a kli and a room, so to speak, is this thing of whether it's more or less than memsa. Okay. So now we can finally get to our pictures, our slides, and that is an obvious nafkamina for that is whether something is more or less than memsa is going to be when you put things into a fridge or freezer, okay, which is for us a pretty unique case for us to have tzir sal. We don't have many other chances to do that. And again, in order to do it, we have to meet all the other conditions of tzir sal. Like you said, they have to be things that you're willing to have them mix with each other. Okay, like we talked about at the beginning of today, they have to touch each other. There are other conditions to make tzir sal, but assuming you have the potential, you have at least the possibility of doing it in a fridge or freezer is a likely case. Okay, so now, okay, how big is Memsa? Okay, so the numbers you see here are our four sheets. We spoke about at a different time, but these are four sheets. Those are in cubic inches. Okay, they range from 16,000 to about 35,000 cubic inches to make a shir chal. A memsa. Okay, that's what it would be to be a memsa. Okay, so just I'm gonna give you some things just to help you place them. Okay, so the first is an oven. Okay, most of these measurements were done at home. A typical oven was right there in the middle, okay? The size of the oven. Now, we can't do tzir in an oven anyhow. We spoke about that. But the oven, just for size-wise, okay, it's somewhere in the middle between some bigger than memsa for some sheeters and small for other sheeters.
Measuring from the outside or the inside?
What do you think I measured from? I measure from the outside. First measure from the outside, okay? The Magen Avraham says in Hilchos Shabbos. He said, you want how you should measure? Measure from the outside. Like it says in Mishnayos and Kalim. Okay? You measure from the outside, okay? So the oven was the easier one because the oven just has one, so to speak, outside. Okay? So now, I'm going to show you some different fridges and freezers. Okay? I have here five different kinds of fridges and freezers. Okay? The top one, which is a smaller one. No, I didn't. No. To my house and neighbors. Okay, the top one, the small one, is that the number you see there is not it's actually a small fridge, but it's almost the same as the downstairs fridge. I measured that this morning. The downstairs fridge here in the CRC is a barrel of that size. Okay, so that's an that's like a smaller fridge or freezer. A little bit bigger than that is what you saw.
You have to add though, probably because it's like 18,000 cubic.
No, they go with cubic feet. That's internal space. Okay. So this is external. The margin is external. Okay, and the next is a full-size freezer, like, you know, a whole big, just a freezer, a side-by-side freezer, fridge and freezer. Then the fourth one is like a regular, what I think is a regular, like, kitchen fridge or freezer, which is big, no head downstairs. And on the bottom is what's a sub-zero. Okay, those are very wide and very not deep, okay, to fit to nice into your cabinets. Those have a really, really big volume. Okay, so as you can see, every one of those fridges and freezers that we have here, if you measure it the way I told you, to include the fridge and the freezer together, is bigger than the shear of MEMSA. Okay? According to the way I'm measuring it this way, they're always going to be bigger than the shear of MEMSA. If you want to see, not like that, I have two examples for you here. If you don't want to see them together, okay, the two unit parts together, this is the fridge and the freezer separate from each other, okay, for a small and a large fridge and freezer. You could do it for the other ones if you want to also. Okay, the numbers are approximate. They're not exact. It has to do with the wall in between. Okay, the numbers are not exact. So you see over here, some of them are for sure not MEMSA, okay, like this small freezer that we have downstairs is for sure not MOX MEMSA. Some of them are for sure R, okay, in a regular size fridge it is, and some are in between, okay, some of them are in between. Okay, so this possibility of doing a tsiruf sal, I'm not sure if even a regular person would have, but let's say you go to a commercial bakery where they put their stuff into a freezer. Or in some of these cases, there's potential that we would say there's no tsiruf sal because it's in a clear, it's a maximum. So, okay, the last thing I have to tell you is, last time we spoke about why there's no tsiruf in a tanner. Okay, it's a machlokes in Yerushalmi, and we pass this no tzir for the tanner. And I told you then there are four reasons why there might not be tzir for the tanner. The Achronim give four different reasons why it might not be. Most of those reasons are not negated to today. But one of them is negated to today's discussion, that's what I mean, today's discussion. But one of them was, there were those who explained that the reason why a tanner can't have tzir is because a tanner is attached to the ground. It's meant to, it just parked, it just stays there. And therefore, there's no tzir for the sal. There's nothing special about a tanner be'etzim. It's just that tanner is a representative of things that just sit still and they don't go anyplace. Okay, so some of the Achronim say, Rosham Zalman talks about it, I think Dan Weiss talks about it also. They say, as you know, if that's the pshat and why a tanner, there's no tzir for the tanner, then a fridge should qualify for the same thing. The fridge is basically, for our purposes, is a tanner also. It just stays still, stays put. Some of them who talk about this, like, they mix it with this MEMSA, and maybe it's the same thing. Maybe those two things are not so different from each other. The staying still and being MEMSA maybe are not so far from each other.
A smaller refrigerator is more likely to be from place to
place. Well, a small refrigerator, like you have in a dormitory, like mine's like a little, you know, a 2 feet by 2 feet. But the fridge that's downstairs, in the kitchen downstairs, there's not going in place. No one's moving that around.
That's for the MEMSA anyway. The very small ones that are below MEMSA are also more likely.
Right, right. So those things are they're intertwined. The you know, metalkal molivarekan and metalkal are very similar to each other. They're not so far apart from each other. Okay, So that child of tanner, the other reason that we give it to the tanner, not negate to us. Okay, and one last thing I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell you what it is, which is, I still owe you something. We're going to have another child about tzir sal when we get to some Shinchav test. Okay, when we talk about blue rockers, it's going to have its own special twist on tzir sal in that case.